Good evening. God bless your hearts. It's Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. And today we'll be launching into the 13th section of Psalm 119, where each of the eight verses begins with the 13th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Mem. This word Mem means a warm feeling backed with lots of love. And as we read this section, we'll see the tenderness, the warm-heartedness that David shares with God. He's so thankful, and the reflections concerning his love for God's word and the understanding he has gained just give us so much of an example to follow. So we'll begin in verse 97, Mem. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And remember, Psalm 119 is a psalm involving David and God. It's a psalm where David's name doesn't even appear because it's not really important who the psalmist is, but it's important that we see that beautiful example. In verse 97, he privately and tenderly expresses his love of God's instruction. And it was a love that grew. It increased over time. And David developed a healthy appetite for learning more, and most especially for the understanding of how to live and how to apply the doctrine that he learned. You know, after all, we have to realize that understanding and wisdom don't just rain down on us because we ask for it in a prayer. We do some reading. We do some studying, some meditating on the scriptures, and some applying the word. How about living it? Being mindful that at the base of it all is a heart for God, and then we are well on our way. In David's involvement with the word, he studied, meditated, prayed, and applied it to his life. He reflected upon the results, and he did other things, but he brought everything through the filter of the truths of God. His heart was perpetually full of God's instructions. And that's why God was ever with him in his thoughts. That's why his thoughts were framed. That's how his thoughts led him in the right ways, because the word wasn't cold in his mind. Verse 98, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. You know, God answered David's prayers. David availed himself to God's instruction, and God illuminated his understanding. And that's the only way we will ever be wiser than our enemies. He said in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Now, remember, David wasn't boasting in front of an audience. He was alone, and he was talking to God. And what thankfulness and awe he showed. He didn't take the credit for anything. God got all the credit for the good, for the victory, for the wisdom in his life. Sure, his teachers knew the word, but David went to God to understand what they taught. And that's the right way to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what we're supposed to do. He worked the scriptures in his mind all the time. The thoughts were just there. And he was desiring insight and comprehension. And he did the word to the best of his understanding at any given time. His understanding, therefore, increased day by day. It's more than just listening to a teacher. It's living what we are hearing. learning what we are being taught. And therefore, he was able to exercise prudence in spiritual matters. He was able to execute God's word with wisdom. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I understand more than the ancients because, this is the reason, I keep thy precepts. Now, the ancients were older men. They were the elders. A lot of times they were those who had authority. David showed himself to be discerning and attentive because he observed with fidelity. He kept, he did God's precepts. And knowledge, without exercising or applying it, will not result in understanding. Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. So of his free will choice and his appetite for godliness, which of course came because he kept himself in the word, that appetite for godliness increased. Because of that, David restrained his behaviors. He didn't let his feet go wandering off into the weeds. He did not allow his behavior to involve wickedness. He didn't even stand around watching wickedness. We know from others of the Psalms that he wrote. Why? Because he couldn't walk in the path of the wicked and walk in the path of the righteous at the same time. David enjoyed the path of the just. Verse 102, I have not departed or turned aside from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Look how intimate this is. And as much as David desired understanding so that he could walk wisely, so does God desire our love and worship. Psalm 103, listen to this, look at this tenderness, look at this warm-heartedness. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Imagine God's delight, the Father's delight, when we, in private, just us and him, alone, when we say to him out of the unsolicited solitude of our heart's thoughts, how sweet are your words to my taste? They are sweeter than honey in my mouth. And tonight, when I lay my head on my pillow, I'm going to remember this, and I'm going to deeply consider my expressions of thankfulness to the Father. And especially remembering from our last study that he established every detail in the cosmos for those of us who would call upon his name. Everything he did, everything he has done, every thought of his heart has been upon you and me. And in this closing verse of the 13th section, we see the contrast to loving God, whose word is sweeter than honey in the mouth. Verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. David's attentiveness to do the commandments was his beginning for gaining understanding. He diligently considered the word that he knew, and God caused his heart to understand. And that is the simplicity of it. How does God do that? I don't know, but he's faithful. But as a result, David's palate, his taste buds, they continually found God's word to be sweeter than honey. And the thought of feeding on the taste of evil just was not for him. He loved God's path and, in contrast, hated every deceitful way. Now, I want to mention here, Christians often ask, are we really supposed to hate if God is love? Well, in our next session, in our next study, this comes up again. And we'll consider in more detail loving the word and hating false ways. So we understand the usages and exactly what it means to hate something or someone when we're believers. But what inspiration and what comfort, what hope these verses provide as we grow in our communion with God. And yes, it is a spiritual relationship, but certainly, spiritually speaking, God is a tangible and mighty force in our hearts and lives. Well, we have adequate time to continue on to the 14th section of Psalm 119, considering verses 105 through 112, where each verse begins with the Hebrew letter Nun. Nun makes reference to a humbled one who is faithful and therefore enjoys the rewards of faithfulness. David was a great man. The greatest part of a great man, you know what it is? It's humility. Man or woman, of course. And when Samuel went at God's command to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons as king, David was the youngest and the most unlikely possibility. Yet God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7, "The Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Now, we know David was not perfect in his walk. There are several accounts in the Word where he did things that were absolutely not God's will. But he had a perfect heart toward God. And that's where the communion is. It's not in the senses realm that we have true fellowship with God. It is within the reasonings and the attitudes of our heart where there is a give and take relationship between the faithful one and God, who is the ultimate faithful one, of course. So, verse 105, none. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And, you know, by this time, David has proven himself in battle. He was well recognized by all the people, even above King Saul. People went around singing about his greatness. Saul became enraged with jealousy. You know, David could have easily walked in the light of his own fire, like Isaiah 50 verse 11 talks about. He could have walked around in the sparks that he had kindled. But he didn't do that. God's word was the light for his feet. And he did not walk in the evil ways. With God, there's only one way. But within that one way, we walk so freely and powerfully. With evil ways, there's so many paths for our feet to go down, and any one of them puts us in bondage and strips us of our freedom. And that's a good little contemplation right there. to spend some time realizing how that is so true. God alone is the one true illumination, the one true illuminating light for our navigating life. There are still challenges, temptations, yes, but when we love the light of His Word and allow it to light our path, God promises victory, because He is the light that shines more and more into the perfect day, as Proverbs 4:18 speaks of. This verse 105 now sets the tone for this 14th section. It gives us the basis for the remaining seven verses. And nine times in these seven verses that remain in this 14th section, David says, I. And he made no mention of a weapon aimed at his head, where he has no choice but to love God. All of his conversation, all of his talking to God is his free will offering. It is David and God alone in this ongoing conversation. You know, there's no reason for David to try to smooth talk God. He knows that doesn't work. After all, if you look at 1 Chronicles 28:9, he taught his own son Solomon that God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. It says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, if you walk away from his word and you deliberately decide you are not going to go for it, if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Now, obviously, according to the covenant, God would not literally ever be able to cast Solomon off forever. But the word for cast off comes from a word meaning to stink, to smell bad. In 1 Samuel 15:22, it says that obedience is the best sacrifice. Now, just follow with me here. Our hearkening to God is better than the fat of rams. And how this stink works in is because the fragrance from the fat of the rams on the altar, it was a sweet smell to God. But even better is the fragrance of our obedience. Now, if the people burned the fat of the rams, but it wasn't with their hearts, that stench of rebellion was loathsome. So as long as one serves God with a perfect heart and a willing mind, the sacrifice of their obedience is a sweet savor to God, whereas rebellion is as the stinking sin of witchcraft. So to cast off forever simply means God's promises pass over the individual. They just go right past him, as long as he remains in a rebellious state toward God. There are no rewards for lack of faithfulness, only bondage. Blessings do not overtake the lack of faithfulness to the promises. Verse 106, "I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." So David took an oath with Jehovah himself, and he confirmed that he would fulfill his oath of keeping God's instructions for his life. And again, no man's flesh arrives at perfection. We clearly have seen that it refers to the condition of one's heart. At any time, any of us can behave impulsively. We can speak or act out in a way that is contradictory to the nature of God. But through a biblical lifestyle of remembering God and His Word, the Word is fresh in our minds, and it catches our unwise behavior. It pricks us in our hearts and brings us quickly to our senses. And how do we fix that? We speak to the Father about the situation, and we're on our way again. There's not a lot of downtime. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken, revive me, O Lord, according unto thy word. You know, David was bowed down in his heart with humbleness. Look at all these things he's talked about in section 13, section 14. We can understand that just reading these records that we've been bringing up. It's enough to make anyone bow down in humble awe of God Almighty. And to have the humbleness in our hearts to recognize that God is our personal caretaker. And even more, I love this, how at ease we can be to speak intimately and openly with our God and Father. I think it's an eye-opener. And it is an experience that we should seek to develop. Verse 108, accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. David wanted to be God to be pleased with and favorable to the freewill offerings of his mouth. Don't we? Absolutely. Free will communicates that David had a readiness of mind to freely and promptly give the spontaneous offerings of praise to God. His heart was a voluntary offering. He didn't give sparingly, but he spoke abundantly to God in his private communications with him. He professed that he would give abundantly to the people concerning the things of God, that he would speak everywhere, that he would be a living testimony for God. No, David did not give sparingly in his conversation, in his thoughts, in his regard for the word, and in his life. Psalm 119:109. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. You know, God doesn't control us. Our souls, our lives, our minds, our hearts, they are ever in the power of our own hands. You do what you want. We have that freedom. We decide day by day, moment by moment. Verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. You know, the devil knows very well that the choices are ours to make. And that's why he consistently lays snares out for us. And as in the case of David, despite the snares the enemy laid for him, he kept on his toes. And he chose not to stray from God's precepts. And the only way that we are quick enough to catch those is that lifestyle of remembering God's word, to have it ever with us. And that is so apparent in all of David's writings, but certainly in this very private and intimate time with God. Verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. And I really love this. He took it. He took possession of God's testimonies. We can take possession of God's word. Absolutely. God makes his testimonies available. The individual chooses. For David, he made it the joy and rejoicing of his heart. And he did it over and over again. He watched for his life and he did it cheerfully. He did it with gladness of heart. It wasn't a burden to him to keep God's testimonies. The actual burden would have been the temptations and the snares, which would have proven unbearable as a burden if you didn't own God's testimonies. And verse 112 closes this 14th section where David again professes, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. And one of the definitions for I have inclined my heart is spread out as in pitching a tent. In the East, a tent was often their dwelling place. And this is how, think of how this fits with the Gospel of Apostle John, chapter 15, and we'll begin at verse 7. If ye abide in me, now they abode in tents. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye, dwell continually, abide ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, verse 11, have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And a closing exhortation from Apostle John in 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know, that is our destination, his coming. And with the biblical lifestyle of remembering God in our praises, so filled with awe, we can pitch our tents, so to speak, by voluntarily committing ourselves to keeping his testimonies. We refresh ourselves in the word often, and in our private talks with our Father, we can be revived. We dwell in Christ one day at a time as we patiently await his return. So God bless your wonderful hearts.